Dr. Webb?
Here.
Mr. Welsh?
Here.
Mr. Yost?
Yes, here.
I'll accept a motion to move to executive session.
Chairman, I'd like to move that the board convene in executive session to consider the employment of employees as permitted by Section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act and pending probable or imminent litigation as permitted by Section 2C11 of the Open Meetings Act.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes, and I'm not hearing that well.
Okay.
Get the mics closer. Mr.
Mr. Okay. Mr. Welsh?
Yes. Okay, we're now in executive session.
That's terrible.
Okay, we're back in session. On the agenda, we have action items under Roman numeral 3. Item A, approval of minutes of March 11, 2001 board meeting.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as printed.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes. Purchase approvals. Mr. Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. We have one purchase approval for your consideration today. This is the item University Court Parking Lot Improvements. This is an item that the board approved last year, but when the state's cash flow issues became as severe as they were, we stopped that project, and so we are bringing this project back to you for your reapproval. We are asking you to approve up to an amount of $900,000, which would come from local funds only.
Questions?
Make a motion to approve this.
Second.
Second. I have a question.
Oh, sure.
Why wouldn't we bring this before the board once we have the costs established? I mean, I just have a concern about saying we're going to spend up to $900,000 and we don't even have the quotes yet. I mean, that just seems to me as an open invitation for everything to come in at $900,000 when maybe it could be $850 or $750.
Yeah, understood. In this case, it's a matter of timing. The construction season for this sort of work is coming up rapidly, and the bids are in the works and will be closed in the near future, so we don't think this will affect the amount of the bids. But we could not get this work done over the summer if we waited for the board's approval to the June meeting.
Or be it for me to complain about parking lot improvements, but we know we can use that. But is that money available now or will be available?
Yes, this is.
Or was it before?
This is from parking fees. And so that's the source of funds, and yes, there are adequate funds to pursue the project.
As a further point of information, Trustee Cradaville, a couple of years ago, we went through an extensive campus-wide conversation with open forums and other means of communication to change the parking fees, the parking permit fees, which had not changed for, I think, 11 years. We did do a stepwise increase in the parking fees. In those conversations, those open forums, there was an expressed desire from many in the university community that we enhance our enforcement of parking regulations, which we've done. And so over the last 2 years, the revenue from those increased parking fees and from enhanced enforcement now enables us to take this on, whereas last year with the cash flow issues that the state had in sending us funds, we didn't have enough funds in parking, in the parking fees themselves, to get the job done. So that's one difference between last year and this. Also, once the bids come in, if the board wishes, we certainly can present that information to the Audit and Finance Committee if the board wished to give some authority to approve at that level.
Seems like parking has been a traditional problem anyway, finding enough parking for people, and I would be for any improvement on that.
At all universities, yes.
Yeah.
Just what Dr. Perry suggested, that we had a discussion in the Finance Audit Committee, that given the bids are coming in May and we act on this today, that the board might want to grant Bob and I the authority to look over those bids and make a secondary approval at that point.
Chairman
Walsh. Question?
Yeah. I would rather have that. I just think to have an unknown amount of money that we're voting on sets a very bad precedent.
So you want oversight? You agree with that?
I do. I think okay. That there should be an amount that we know certain that the Finance Committee can take a look at. I understand the urgency, but I don't like it.
So we had the same concern.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Ms. Nimmitz's point.
Yeah, we had that same discussion in our Finance Committee meeting that get your concerns about the bids are still outstanding and this amount could become known, Bob, all those type of things. That we've done this in the past, I think, on a few items where the Finance Committee was given authority from the board to review these things. And the timing is the factor with you in construction season, right. I understand.
So, Dr. Webb, Mr. O'Rourke, will you pursue that on behalf of the board?
We will, yes. We discussed it in the Finance Committee this morning extensively, and also the concerns, Julie, that you raised. So, as soon as the bids are in, if you'll notify us, Bill and I will follow up.
Certainly.
But I guess I'd like to offer an amendment to the motion, thank you, that to vote for this to go to the Finance Committee for approval, final approval, to give the Finance Committee final approval on this.
Contingent on the approval of the Finance Committee.
Contingent on the approval, right.
I'll accept that as a form of a motion, an amendment to the major motion we have. We have a motion.
Second to that?
Yeah, I made the motion.
So what is the motion?
Well, she has an amendment.
I have an amendment. Yeah.
Do you need a second on that?
To accept the amendment.
I'll second that.
What is the amendment?
Contingent upon review by the Finance Committee.
So it's it would be a motion that the Board of Trustees approve this purchase item with contingent on the approval of the Finance Committee.
Review.
That's the motion. Is there a approval of that motion?
Now, is this an addition to my motion, or what is this? I know it's an amendment.
Is it an amendment?
It's an amendment to your motion.
Are we going to vote on both of them at the same time, or what are we doing?
Vote on the amendment first, don't you?
It's a friendly amendment. Mr. Cradiville? Mr. Cradiville?
What's that?
You accept that as a friendly amendment?
A friendly amendment?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Everyone understand what we're voting on?
Yes.
I need to vote against my own motion.
And there was a second?
Yes.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
No.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Now we need to vote on.
Did we just vote on them all of it together?
We just voted on the amendment, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Now we need to vote on the major motion. Main motion
as amended.
Now we need to vote on the main motion as amended.
Okay.
Okay, we're ready for item C.
We need a clarification.
You voted on the
clarification.
Yep, you voted just now to amend the original motion, and now you would vote on the motion as amended.
Okay.
Okay. Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
I'd like to have this clarified again. What are we voting on this time?
We're voting on the motion as amended. Your motion as amended.
Okay. No.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Okay, now we're ready for item C, I believe, on tenure recommendations 2011-2012. Claire Lord, I believe, will handle this.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. This, of course, is the annual presentation of candidates for tenure of approval by the board. They have been subject to the collectively bargained process of review, which includes a departmental review by a department personnel committee, the appropriate department chairperson, the appropriate dean, the university personnel committee, and then a final recommendation from President Perry to you regarding their tenure. The short biographical sketches are provided in the addendum. Some additional information in the preamble indicates that many of these individuals were in the sort of the class of 2005. That's when many of them were hired. This puts them into the sixth year now, which is the time at which they become eligible for the tenure consideration, unless they claimed advanced standing, and a number of the class of 2005 did. But of the group before you, 11 of them came in the year 2005, and several others came subsequently but had advanced standing. So this is the class. I will make the observation that I think the candidates we've been hiring over the last goodly number of years have been very strong candidates, and I think you have seen this in the recent groups of candidates presented for tenure. I'm very proud of this group, along with the others I've presented in the past. So I am open to questions you may have, but I heartily recommend this group for tenure.
Questions?
I don't have a question, but I do want to commend you, Dr. Blair, and other people who are responsible for bringing people with these kinds of qualifications, both in their experience and in their academic field, to this campus. As you say, I think it's going to make a tremendous impact on what's going on here.
Thank you. I think that speaks highly to the process we use at Eastern and also the attractiveness of Eastern to faculty candidates.
I have a comment as well. And looking at the cover letter on the tenure issue, tenure is a cornerstone of the academy and fundamental to the enterprise of teaching and learning. I would agree with that. I view tenure as also linked to academic freedom and free speech issues. With recent Supreme Court decisions, that makes tenure even more important from my perspective. And one of the original reasons for tenure in the first place was to protect faculty from external sources, pressure on the academy. Those pressures have been increasing in the last several years, so I think this is a very important component of higher education to maintain. And I certainly support the ability of Eastern Illinois University to maintain tenure-track faculty. So I agree with Dr. Webb on the quality of these candidates. Is there a motion to accept the above individuals for tenure?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
No discussion or questions? Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Move to item D, tuition and fee rates for 2012. President Perry.
Thank you, Chairperson Welch. Appreciate the opportunity today to present the fiscal year 12 tuition recommendation to the EIU Board of Trustees. The fee recommendations will be given by Dr. Nadler after my presentation on tuition. I thought it was important, certainly in today's times, hard economic times, stresses on family incomes and so forth, to lay out a fairly complete presentation of the environment and the recommendations. I'll be using some acronyms in the presentation. IBHE is the Illinois Board of Higher Education. RAMP is the Resource Allocation Management Program. Every university in the state fills out one of these documents. It ends up being in a loose leaf binder about 3 inches thick. We submit it to the Illinois Board of Higher Education in October of each year. We outline budget objectives and we have dollar amounts attached. The main categories here are program priorities and increased expenses. When we talk about the university budget, there are different pieces of it. The main pieces for what I would call the educational and general expenses of the university are the General Revenue Fund, and these are the state appropriations that come to us by virtue of revenue raised by the state, primarily through tax revenue. And then there's what we call the Income Fund, which is really the total of tuition paid to the university by the students. And those two together constitute what we call our appropriated budget, as you can see, as it's defined here. We take the revenue fund, general revenue fund appropriation, and our projected income fund to arrive at our appropriated budget. Now, what is the context of a tuition increase for new students at Eastern Illinois University? Well, first of all, it's excellence in our faculty and staff performance and in our programs. We can see this by the achievements of our faculty, their recognition in terms of external grants, our different programs, national visibility, such as our first choice graduate programs, the achievements of our students, which are many, regardless of major, our presence at the National Conference of Undergraduate Research. There are many, many measures, many, many observables with regard to this excellence. Also, we're a student-centered university. Our student life programs are dynamic. They're evolving to meet our students' needs. We pride ourselves on excellent academic programs at a student-centered university, which means that our faculty and staff, among other things, are committed to personal relationships with students to help them develop while they're here so they can step into society, into careers, graduate schools, ready to be productive members of society. Also, part of the context is we work hard at cost containment. We do a lot with regard to energy conservation. As you'll see, we've cut back on some of our budgets, and we've been involved with hiring freeze, equipment being very judicious in our equipment purchases, as well as other measures, which have been announced to the university community through emails and other measures, and to which the we owe a lot of thanks to the faculty and staff and students of the university for working well and with excellence under those kinds of measures. Also, in this context, we estimate a range of level funding to a 6% cut in the general revenue fund. A 6% cut would amount to almost $3 million. Also, we have estimated some increases in our financial obligations through our contractual obligations with our faculty and staff through collective bargaining and other means. We've also have estimated funding for university priorities moving forward. Also, another part of the context is that the Truth in Tuition legislation, which was implemented several years ago, tells us that a new student, new freshman, for example, has the same tuition level for 4 years or longer if their curriculum requires more than 4 years of study. But if the student then extends beyond that, you can have a modest increase, and that's also determined by legislation as well. So when we talk about the tuition level that new students pay, certainly undergraduates, we know that that stays level for 4 to 4.5 years, and that means that the increase is amortized over that period of time. Now, of course, what this also means is the university has to look forward 4, 4.5 years out to try to estimate what the increases in costs are going to be, because we need to serve those students whom we admit. It's our trust and our obligation to provide high-quality, excellent education for those students. And so we have to estimate what's going to be happening over the next 4 years. Now, in our budget request for fiscal year 12, as you can see here from our RAMP submission, we estimated personnel cost increases of about $2.7 million and operating cost increases of about $1.9 million. So that adds up to about $4.7 million of increase in costs. And many of these are driven by contractual obligations or inflationary pressures that we see, for example, in utilities and so forth. We also submit program priority requests. Again, in the RAMP, we projected academic-based support should increase by $1.5 million, some specified diversity efforts of $96,000, deferred maintenance of $1.4 million, and technology enhancements of $1.8 million. And these all relate to our university priorities. Those total to about $4.7 million. The fact that that's about the same as our cost increases is merely coincidence. Now, in terms of cost containment, what we've done over the past year and moving into this year is we have reduced personnel costs by about $3.1 million, and that's through our hiring freeze primarily. We have eliminated many vacant positions, but not all of those vacant positions had money in them. Also, we reduced our operating costs by $1.6 million, and that adds up to $4.7. Now, again, that's coincidence, this $4.7 million figure. Now, what about the general revenue funding appropriation? What can we expect from the state in fiscal 12? Well, first of all, we don't know for sure because the legislature is still working on the fiscal 12 budget. They're in recess right now, but when they get back, they're going to be working very, very hard on this. No funding increase can be expected. When we testified earlier in this session, the numbers that we were given were level numbers. That is, the fiscal 12 appropriation was assumed to be the same as fiscal 11. Since that time, though, many signals indicate that that number is going to drop. How far, we don't know. But our best estimate is anywhere up to 6%. So that would be about a $2.8 million reduction in general revenue. So what is our proposed tuition increase to the Board of Trustees? We're proposing to increase the resident tuition rate from $254 a semester credit hour to $269 per semester credit hour. So that is $15 per semester credit hour increase. For a 30-hour course of study, that would be $450. These new rates would be effective for all incoming resident undergraduate students and all resident graduate students. This is the smallest percentage increase in tuition rates since the Truth in Tuition was legislated and it's also the smallest absolute increase. It's actually equal in dollars, the $15, to last year's increase. Now, because the tuition is fixed for 4 years, the annualized rate of increase is 2.3%. In other words, you can't just divide by four. You can't just divide the 5.9% by four and say it's a 1.5% increase. Because, in fact, because you have the 5.9% increase right from the beginning, a certain amount of revenue accrues to the university that if you did it stepwise instead of all at once, this would be an estimate for that. Now, how does that compare to what's going on in the economy of late? Well, if you look at the CPI, Consumer Price Index, from 2009 to 2011, and I looked at the Midwest Urban March to March, not seasonally adjusted, it's been 2.6%. It was just about 2.6% from 09 to 10, and from 10 to 11, again, another 2.6% increase. So what we're proposing as an increase lines up pretty well with what's been happening in the CPI. We can't be certain that that's what the increase is going to be going forward, but it's the best thing we have to extrapolate from at this time. Also, and this is part of the environment of this increase, there are no new fee increases proposed. The fee increases that are in your board packet are actually parts of a sequence of fee increases that were approved by the board prior, but we submit them to you for confirmation by reapproval. So that is our proposal, and what its impact is an estimated increase to our income fund of $2.5 million. How would we use that? Well, if the general revenue fund remains flat, then we would have to shave $2.2 million from our university priorities. Remember, those priorities added to $4.7 million. If the general revenue fund is cut by 6%, then the university would have to reallocate funds to invest in any priorities. In fact, if we get a 6% cut, things balance out to about $300,000 decrease in our capabilities. So moving forward in this environment, we're going to be doing the following things. Doing everything we can to maintain affordability. We will continue the hiring freeze. We will continue to be conservative in our equipment purchases. We will watch our operations very, very, very carefully. We will continue to put into effect energy conservation measures. We're going to pursue our legislative agenda of performance-based funding for universities. We believe Eastern would be competitive under a properly constructed performance-based funding system, would be competitive for enhanced funding from general revenue. We're continuing to develop a strategic plan. As you know, that process started in January. It will conclude next January here at the Board of Trustees meeting with a strategic plan being submitted for approval by the Board of Trustees. One of the themes we've seen already from the many groups that have participated in the strategic planning process is a recognition that state funding is on the decline. And so we have to do everything we can ourselves, be entrepreneurial, look for other sources of revenue to continue to move the university forward. We do have a successful capital campaign in progress, and that will conclude in a couple of years with some enhanced capability for us in many ways. But through all of it, we're going to continue to uphold our values of excellence, personal relationships, opportunity, and service. Our job is to keep Eastern Illinois University an institution of opportunity and an institution of excellence. So we propose this tuition rate increase to the board. The increase is the same for resident graduate students. For some of our other tuition rates for non-residents, you will see that there's a multiplier of three, so the non-resident tuition rate is three times the resident tuition rate. In some cases, the non-resident graduate tuition rate will drop, actually, because you will recall, as the board approved a couple of years ago, we moved the multiplier for non-resident graduate students from three times the resident rate to 2.7 times, and now this year to 2.4 times. So this is our recommendation. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have while this is fresh from the presentation. And then after any questions and answers to those, then I would turn it over to Dr. Nadler to discuss the fees.
Questions?
I was interested in what percent our operating budget is increasing for next year. I believe the dollar amount was $9.5 million, the operating budget.
Well, what we had proposed in our ramp overall, let me just check back to that, for all of our personnel and operations was 4.7, but let me go back. Okay, these were our estimated increases for personnel costs and operating costs in our ramp submission. That added up to $4.7 million. Now, our program priority requests were also about $4.7 million. Those two together would be $9.4
million. And that's for lower 4%?
4.7 million is a little over 4%. Our overall appropriated budget is about $113 million. It breaks out to be for this year $47 million for the general revenue, and about $65 million for income fund. So we actually have more in our budget from tuition revenue, significantly more than in general revenue funding from the state.
We're talking about revenues. I was interested in how much our operating costs are going to increase for next year over last year.
For next year. Well.
Well, for the budget year, FY12.
Well, in fact, we've cut this year by $1.6 million in operating costs. So when the dust settles next year, my guess is, and Bill, you may want to weigh in here, my guess is we'll be coming out about even. Once we roll in any increases we actually have from inflationary costs for commodities or anything like that, with the cuts that we've made, it should be about even. But Bill, you want to weigh in on that, please?
Yes, the operating cost increase, non-personnel, in our October 10 ramp document is roughly $1.9 million. Most of that increase is from utilities. And what we do in the ramp is we individually estimate each utility, so electricity, water, et cetera. Each of those increases is estimated. And that's where the bulk of the increase is in utility costs. But, of course, there are other operating costs where we add an inflationary factor.
So the budgets are going to be about the same for the 2 years? Is that what you're saying?
The overall for operating, this netted out with the reductions that we've done in the past year are close to even.
Other questions? Jill?
It's my understanding that food and energy are not considered when the CPI is determined. So as you are looking at increasing costs for next year and the operating costs, you're basing your inflationary trends on what is actually happening rather than anything relating to CPI. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We apply a different inflationary factor to each separate utility depending on what we're seeing in the trends for those prices.
I have a question for Dr. Weber. Bill, what are you anticipating for the new energy plant cost for next year relative to all this?
Well, we will be seeing our wood chip contract that the board approved at a previous meeting, that coming online. Also, we have the paying off of the bond for that. So overall, we will be seeing some increase in utilities on total. I don't have an exact number for you in front of me, but I can dig that out of our RAMP document if you'd like me to provide you with those details.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you. You want to, Dr. Nadler, do you want to continue with the fee issues?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As President Perry mentioned, we are not bringing forward any new increases for the fees. In your addendum, you will find two particular student fees that were previously approved by the board in April 2010. The first being campus improvement fee, and this is used to help enhance laboratories and the physical science building, and eventually with this stepped up increase over years, providing part of the cost for new construction for a science building. So we're looking at the present fee of $14.50 per credit hour going to $17 per credit hour. That's a $2.50 per credit hour increase. With Lance O'Brien, it's additional resources that will be used to replace roofs, ceilings, plumbing, as well as repairing outdoor basketball and tennis courts, heating and air conditioning, ventilation, renovating bathrooms, and repairing the Panther Trail outdoors. Presently, the fee is $2.50 per credit hour. Last year, the board had approved a $3 per credit hour fee, so that's an increase of 50 cents per credit hour. And then finally, the grant and aid fee is annually adjusted, increased to the same amount that the room and board fee is increased. This past January 2011, the board increased the rate for room and board. The increase was 3.5%, so that same multiplier, that same percentage is used for the grant and aid fee. So it's presently $144.72. That would go to $149.79. That's an increase of $5.07. In keeping with President Perry's goal to continue offering incredible value at Eastern Illinois University, we're very pleased that no additional fee increases are coming through this year. And it's in line with that goal, and it's in recognition of what's happening out in society. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Questions, anyone?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead.
Dr. Nadler, where do we stand on tuition cost increase comparative to other district universities?
Tuition. Mr. Yost, was that a question on tuition increases for other universities?
Yes, it was.
Yes. University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign raised their tuition rate 6.9%. We're at 5.9%. The Southern Illinois University Board of Trustees received a proposal for a 9% increase and asked that be reconsidered. I believe Chicago State for undergraduates was going to increase 3.5%. But I haven't seen any information from any of the other public universities.
Thank you.
In addition to these fees, I would just remind the board that the room and board rate that was increased this past January was actually the smallest percentage requested in 18 years. This certainly is the first time during my tenure that no additional fees were requested for increases, and my guess, the first time in recent memory that no additional fees were requested.
Okay. I assume other questions or comments? I assume we could incorporate this into one motion to accept the recommendation of tuition and fees for FY12. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
So moved.
Seconded?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion, questions? Roll call, please.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Okay, under item E, personnel contract, Vice President Nadler.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Today we are asking the board to grant Dr. Perry permission to offer a multi-year contract to our women's soccer coach, Coach Perella. This contract extension would run from January 1st, 2012 through December 31st, 2012. Since Coach has arrived, she's done an incredible job with our women's soccer team. In fact, this past year was the first year they had a winning season since 2006 and advanced to the OVC tournament semifinals. Overall, they placed fourth in the Ohio Valley Conference, which also is the highest finish since 2006. And most importantly, our team has a overall grade point average of 3.0 or better in the time that she has served as coach. Our student athletes are graduating on time, and this past year we had an academic All-American. So I'm pleased to provide this information and honored to request this permission for President Perry to offer this contract. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Questions? Okay, we have a recommendation to authorize President Perry to offer contract extension to Ms. Perella.
So moved.
A second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Item F, internal audit charter. Vice President Weber.
Hey, thank you. Before you is a request to approve an internal audit charter. This is essentially from the Illinois State Internal Audit Advisory Board, and they establish the Fiscal Control and Internal Auditing Act and adopts international standards for the professional practice of internal auditing standards. This will guide the conduct of our internal auditors within the state of Illinois. These standards require each office of internal audit to operate under a charter, and that charter is for your approval today. Board's Finance and Audit Committee reviewed this at the last meeting and gave their tentative okay to present this to you today.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the Eastern Illinois University Internal Audit Charter. Is there a motion to that effect?
Do make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. Item G, naming of university property, Vice President Martin.
Yes. I'd like to recommend that the Board of Trustees approve the naming of room 1691 in Coleman Hall, the Kenneth Hadwiger Communication Laboratory. Dr. Hadwiger was a faculty member in the Department of Communication Studies for 32 years and retired in 1996. He was instrumental in the creation of the Communication Laboratory and was influential in the introduction of computer-mediated communication and technology-related coursework in the department. He drew attention to the need for technology within the department. He was a leader in regards to technology adoption within the university and the nation. Since his retirement, he has continued his efforts to support the department. He's made financial contributions to the department and has also committed, he's endowed two scholarships in recognition of his long tenure and contributions to the department. I'm asking the Board of Trustees to consider naming room 1691, the Kenneth Hadwiger Communication Laboratory.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve the naming of the room 1691 in Coleman Hall, the Kenneth Hadwiger Communication Laboratory.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
I happen to know that Dr. Hadwiger is an outstanding sailor, if that helps.
In these stormy financial times, perhaps it will.
Other comments? Roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes. Item H, 2012 meeting calendar for the Board of Trustees. President Perry?
Yes. Chairperson Welch, we are presenting a meeting calendar for your consideration. We submitted these dates or a set of dates earlier to you for discussion among the board. So it comes to you today for your approval.
Make a motion to approve the calendar.
Second.
Questions, comments? One comment. It's my understanding that with the appropriate time frame notice that these dates can be changed based on specific circumstances that may arrive.
They can. And Mr. Miller, what is the notification deadline for a change in meeting?
It's at least 48 hours, but more would be preferable. And there are at least a couple of different ways that the meeting dates can be changed.
Thank you. Questions? Okay, we need a motion to approve the. We have that. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes. I'm going to depart from the agenda slightly for some individual items prior to going to the annual election of officers. As members of the board know that Trustee Don Yost has indicated he is resigning. And so I would I'd like to read this commendation that is presented on behalf of the board and Eastern Illinois University to Don Yost. Whereas Mr. Don Yost has devoted his career to bettering society as an exemplary businessman and community servant while generously supporting Eastern Illinois University, its educational and athletic ventures, and whereas Mr. Yost as an outstanding contributor to community and state through current role on the Illinois Health Facilities and Service Review Board and has past service in numerous professional and community organizations, including the Illinois Prisoner Review Board, Illinois Association of School Business Officials, Lakeland College Foundation Board, Charleston Excellence in Education Foundation, for which he served as a charter president, the Charleston Area Chamber of Commerce, for which he served as director, and Coles Together Economic Development Board, for which he served vice president. And whereas Mr. Yost, a statewide developer of multifamily senior facilities in central and southern Illinois, has been a long and distinguished career that previously included service as a business manager, treasurer for Carbondale High School District 165, and an administrator for the Illinois Department of Corrections and owner of Sticks Restaurant and Banquet Facility. And whereas, as a 2004 graduate of AUI Board of Trustees bachelor's degree program, Mr. Yost is a wonderful role model for adults with a desire to further their education. And whereas Mr. Yost's unwavering support for EIU athletics, including service as a member of the most recent NCAA reaccreditation steering committee and a past president of the EIU Panther Club, is evidenced by his receipt of the EIU Athletic Glenn Hessler Distinguished Service Award and his 1999 induction into the EIU Hall of Fame. And whereas Mr. Yost has been a valuable EIU Board of Trustees member from 2005 to 2011, a time period that included such campus milestones as hiring of President William Perry, the creation of a new nursing program, the rededication of Blair Hall, the completion of the Down to Fine Arts Center renovation and expansion, the opening of the Student Success Center, the construction of the Dr. Lourdes Agredo Building, which houses a textbook rental service, the approval of the renewable energy, which is nearing completion, and the launch of the EINU, the university's largest fundraising campaign, which is now nearing its $50 million goal. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of Eastern Illinois University Board of Trustees, along with the university administration, faculty, and staff, do hereby express their utmost gratitude to Mr. Don Yost for his dedicated service to Eastern Illinois University, the people of Illinois, and do hereby thank him for his past, present, and future service to the university and the community at large. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just felt that this has been a wonderful six-year appointment. I've enjoyed my service to the board and serving with this board in particular, this president, and feel it's time to move on, but I will eternally be grateful and stay close to EIU and support it as I did prior to my service on board, and I thank each and every one. It's been a good journey.
Thank you, Don.
Chairman Welch. Don, I just wanted to take this opportunity to express my appreciation for all you have done in terms of sharing your time, talents, and treasures with EIU. Throughout your tenure on the Board of Trustees, you always demonstrated your concern for the students and for the entire EIU community. Your example of embracing new ideas and opportunities, even during times of tremendous personal difficulties, is an example from which we can all learn. I've learned much from you, Don, and am grateful for the opportunity to have served with you on the Board of Trustees for Eastern Illinois University. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Judy.
And Mr. Chairperson, I'd just like to add, and Don, thank you for all you've done for EIU. You've been a great advisor to me, both personally and professionally, and I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other comments?
Don, I also want to express my gratitude for your friendship and guidance here on the board. You've been a great example of what Eastern's all about, and I thank you for that, and that I got to know you in advance of this board work. It's been a great pleasure, and thank you for your service.
Thanks, Bill.
I'd also like to take this opportunity to recognize the contribution of our student board member, Christy Anderson. So on behalf of the board and the administration, a small token of appreciation.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed my time here. I know it hasn't been a long time. This is only my second meeting. So, but I've really enjoyed being in the position and getting to know all of you in my limited time. But I'll definitely keep in touch after I leave Eastern. So only got like a half a month left. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, I'd like to Thank you, Christy, for your bringing the student voice to the table here. It's an incredibly important part of all the proceedings and the shared governance of the university. Thank you very much.
Okay, on a separate but I think also important note, currently in the General Assembly there is a bill that allows conceal and carry weapons. And the university presidents have all signed a joint letter opposing this bill as it currently exists, unless it exempts university campuses from this component of the bill. And so I would like to join in supporting the presidents, but also would like to add an additional component to their position that that would prohibit the presence of weapons within a private vehicle on college or university campuses. So I would ask that the board support a motion to prohibit conceal and carry weapons on the university campus, as well as in private vehicles.
That's a motion.
That's a motion.
Second it.
Well, if you could make that motion for me, I would appreciate it.
Oh, okay, and I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, discussion?
I have a discussion.
Now, does this mean that one could carry a loaded automatic weapon on a college campus?
Yes, under this current, yes, it would be. Mm-hmm.
In the fraternity house? Sorority house? Yes. Classroom?
Yes. As it's currently written, as I understand it.
Mr. Chairperson, could I suggest a slight alteration to the motion, which would be include an exception for any lawfully authorized persons, such as police officers?
Well, I should have stated that there would be exemptions for those that are public safety, police, or educational missions where a weapon is used as part of the mission. So I will add that.
I have a question.
Yes.
And how is this going to be enforced?
The law?
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about then having, is it going to be a requirement then for the potential to have cars searched as they come on campus to find out whether or not there's a weapon?
I don't, there's, it has to be reasonable cause for a search of any vehicle.
How does that work, though? I mean, don't get me wrong, I am adamantly against guns being used by individuals that are going to be causing harm. But to think that this could potentially stop somebody from causing harm because they're going to break the law to carry a weapon, I mean, I'm not getting it. And if the enforcement is difficult at best, I just don't get it.
It's against the law now.
It's against the law to
so vehicles
shoot
aren't
someone,
being
right.
searched.
But you can lock
just maintain the current condition.
Well, it's not against the law now to for someone who has a gun license to carry a gun, right?
There's a statute that prohibits firearms from being on campus, and if anybody has one, they need to register with the police department and store it in a locker. So if somebody's hunting in the morning and then coming into work, there's a procedure for that.
So there's already a law on the books. Mm-hmm. And so how is this going to differ from a law that's already on the books?
Be changed.
They're going to change the law.
Change the law.
To what?
That they can carry it, that it's not illegal.
You're asking about the policy that we're...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm totally...
The policy
passes.
If it passes, they will be allowed to?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing shaking a head.
Well,
no.
I don't know what you're... Talking about the legislation to allow concealed carry is one thing. Rob's saying that there's already a law that says there's a procedure for on campus. Otherwise, there's state law about how you carry a weapon today in your car if you're hunting or whatever. And all we're saying is that state law is going to trump a policy that we might have. In other words, state law is going to apply.
I'd like to add something here, and partially in answer to your question. The legislation as currently drafted and unamended does not create an exception for campuses, even campus buildings. So the reason that the presidents wrote this letter was to point out that there needs to be an amendment, that campuses should have an exemption from the law. The law, as currently stated, does have an exemption for certain kinds of municipal buildings or something like that. You can imagine that even with an exemption just for buildings, you would ask yourself, how do you check on a campus where you've got hundreds of buildings? So the enforcement, either way, amended or unamended, is a big issue. Our concern is, I mean, we know, and the experience of other universities has been, that if someone has it in their mind to come onto campus and create mayhem, it's very hard to prevent that. We know that from experience. But what we don't want is to create a situation where guns are available to young people who, on the spur of the moment, are upset for any of a number of things that could be happening in their lives, to a roommate dispute, for example, to pull out a gun and try to resolve it that way. So what we're trying to do is head off that kind of situation by having this kind of exemption and keep the control of firearms as they are currently construed.
Other questions?
So this would just essentially set it back to the way it is right now, right?
With that kind of amendment, yes, that would keep us in essentially the same kind of situation.
Well, we were just talking about a resolution of this board to support the university president's stance that we are against this. We do not want this to happen.
Right.
We're not setting anything.
Right.
It's a resolution of support.
Right.
Right. And for the information of all who are gathered here from the public, a copy of that letter, I did send a copy of that letter to the board, so the board has seen that president's letter.
Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes, and thank you. Okay, we're moving to back to the agenda as it's currently written, annual meeting, elections of officers.
Okay, it's April, and it's time to elect officers as we do every year. We'll do two positions by secret ballot and two by open or roll call ballot. The first position, and Mr. Yost, I'll take your secret ballot by picking up the phone, okay?
Yes.
All right. Are there any nominations for chairperson?
I'd like to recommend Dr. Webb, the chairperson.
Second.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, nominations are closed. We'll now vote with the half sheets, and Mr. Yost, I'll come to the phone.
Okay, I was in Chicago. Or New Orleans, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, the chairperson elected is Dr. Webb. Congratulations. Okay, the next position is secretary. Are there any nominations for secretary?
I'd like to nominate Bill O'Rourke.
Second.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, nominations are closed, and we'll vote by secret ballot. Okay, secretary elected is Mr. O'Rourke. All right, are there any nominations for vice chairperson?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Cradleville, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, nominations are closed. And we'll do this by roll call.
Ms. Anderson.
Cradleville.
Mr. Cradleville.
Abstain.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes.
Mr. Yost.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Congratulate Mr.
Yes, let's congratulate him, yes. Last one. Are there any nominations for Member Pro Tem for the Executive Committee?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Welch.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other nominations? Nominations are closed. Roll call.
Ms. Anderson.
Yes.
Mr. Cradleville.
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons.
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke.
Yes.
Dr. Webb.
Yes.
Mr. Yost.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
I'm staying.
Okay. Mr. Welch has been elected Member Pro Tem of the Executive Committee. That ends our elections.
What about a 10-minute break?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to excuse myself.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to information items, President's report.
Yes, thank you, Trustee Welch. For my report today, I have a single presentation by Dr. Dan Nadler, our Vice President for Student Affairs. It is a presentation on student affairs and student life, an integral part of the EIU experience. So I will turn the microphone over to Dr. Nadler at this time.
Thank you very much, President Perry. Board of Trustees, thank you. First, before I start the formal presentation, there are about 18 different units in student affairs, and certainly I could give a number of updates on all of these areas in terms of the incredible work that they're doing. But I'm going to go ahead and just present on three or four different areas. But as I do that, I also want to recognize a very important group to us, the Division of Student Affairs, as well as other divisions throughout the university, and that is the hard work, the tireless work, that our graduate students do. I'd like our College Student Affairs graduate students to please stand and be recognized for all your hard work. We really appreciate it. Thank you. So in student affairs, there are three general themes that we try to employ in all that we do, and that is learning, serving, and leading. Learning, looking at all aspects of the college environment, the community, the region, the state, ways in which to learn, to bring that learning from the classroom, traditional four walls, out into student organizations, different experiences, community service opportunities, and those kinds of things. And certainly we work very closely with the provost, with the deans, and with the faculty to find meaningful learning opportunities for our students. Secondly, serving. There are a number of areas in student affairs that are traditional service areas, and we strive to provide high-quality services to the institution. But also at the same time, we try to inspire students and others to have a willingness and to actively engage in serving the communities in which they live and they work. And then finally, leadership and leading. We try to find ways in which to get individuals to step up within student affairs, within the profession, to serve various associations, organizations, their communities. And we also try to do our best in preparing our students for those same kinds of roles. So regardless of what they're majoring in, regardless of what they intend to do professionally, we also hope that they will be a leader in their profession, in their civic organizations, in their neighborhoods. So I will provide updates on these particular areas: student community service, which is a new initiative, health and wellness, our veterans, which is a new initiative, and integrative learning, which you've heard about from President Perry, our provost, and several others. So if not me, then who? And this is part of President Perry's goal for our students on an annual basis to contribute at least 100,000 hours of service by 2013. And you've had some updates in the past from Rachel Fisher and some others, and there's a lot of people who are working extremely hard to help engage our students in these kinds of activities. And we've made some incredible progress to date, some of which you'll be hearing this summer at the board retreat. So ways in which our students serve the community, certainly in nursing homes, visiting the elderly, engaging them in conversation, having meaningful things to do, like checkers, just a fun game of checkers, something different to do, something enjoyable to do. And often when these informal things and non-threatening activities are taking place, some real meaningful conversations evolve. And DeMarlin was one of the individuals who was actually in the last picture. And he said, "I've been helping with this since I've been on campus. The older you get, you influence more. My goal is to influence other students to not just volunteer because of service requirements. Do it because you believe in it. And that's what DeMarlin said, who is president of Alpha Phi Alpha, but also extremely involved on this campus in BSU and student government and several different areas. So we work very hard in engaging students with outreach for our youth. This is one of the new initiatives that's called Panther Parties. And we work very hard with young individuals who are attending EIU athletic events, working with them, giving them a little war paint, and getting them ready for the activities at athletic events. We also work very closely with a program called Young Athletes, which was created by the National Special Olympics. These are young individuals who have challenges, and many of our students are working with them to help prepare them for Special Olympics. I believe these pictures were taken at Carl Sandburg here in Charleston. One of the hallmarks of community service is Panther Service Day, which just took place earlier this month. This year we had 350 volunteers involved in Panther Service Day. We also had 35 community members, members of the Parents Club, and members of alumni services. Here are some of our proud coordinators showing off their Panther Service volunteer shirts. Two more individuals who participated in Panther Service Day. And a new feature this year was actually the first annual Panther Service Day charity, 2.5K Walk Run. And actually, they raised over $1,100 to donate to charity. Again, this was the first-time event, and we hope that it'll continue forever. Different activities that some of the students will go out and do. Here, they're making some toys for animals, which is taking place here in the Union. They can get together and make cards to send to veterans overseas, thanking them for their service and all they do for the USA. We have a number of programs we call trash bashes, where we send individuals out into the community around the perimeter of the university and other strategic locations throughout the city, in which we go around and we pick up trash and try to make the community look better. A little harder work takes place at Douglas Hart Nature Center. And this was, we do this probably about three or four different times during the year. It's pretty hard work, but everything I hear is the students thoroughly enjoy the experience and are happy to do it. This is another new initiative. It's called Painting Fences, Helping Hands. And this is a collaborative effort between EIU and the Charleston City, in which we are going to be starting a community garden, which will be located behind the VFW on 20th Street. And the food that is available from this community garden will be used in the food pantry and other areas that are established to help feed the needy. Here's a power team of doing their painting out at a local school in a gymnasium. And this was part of Panther Service Day. And then we have a couple students working with in the animal shelter, going over and helping out. And certainly one of the things that the students tell us is not only do they know that this is helping other agencies and other individuals, but it also is doing them some good as well. It makes them feel good to get involved in this way. It's a good stress reduction activity for them, and it's just an enjoyable experience. Also, another new initiative is road trip service projects. This one in particular is a clothing drive in which our students help to sort clothes and get them ready for distribution to various families. This particular event took place near St. Louis here recently. And And this is students helping out at a local clothing drive. And then our students also help in the area of preparing food and restacking food and collecting food for the food pantry and other areas in the area. This next slide is also one of the road trips. This actually is a group of students who on a weekend went down to the Shawnee National Forest in southern Illinois, spent the weekend there, and did some volunteer work and thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And then finally, we have a long history and legacy of being very involved in Special Olympics. It's something we look forward to all the time, and our students really enjoy that experience. It makes a big difference in terms of what's happening. And here's a quote from Valerie Carr, who's in charge of the American Red Cross here locally. Certainly, the things that are happening here on campus, in the area, in the region, throughout the state, is certainly being noticed and appreciated. And I saw a recent study. I don't recall the exact amount, but there is a figure that is established with regard to what 1 hour of service is worth, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $21 an hour. So that's what that equates to in terms of our students' willingness to go out and perform that community service. There really is a dollar figure attached to that as well, and that's an incredible savings, especially for those nonprofit organizations who really can't afford that kind of money. So that's what we've been doing in community service. As I mentioned earlier, our president has an ambitious goal of 100,000 hours annually that would be performed by our students. We're well on our way, and I will have an update for you this summer at the board retreat. Our next area is student health and wellness, and we have a health fair every year. We are involved in financial health of our students in terms of things that they can do to better prepare themselves for paying their bills, for not getting themselves into debt. We engage students in educational programs about health and nutrition. We have an area called Total EIU. Eating disorders is certainly a very important issue that we deal with through the counseling center, through the health service, through health education and resource center. Alcohol and drugs is another area that, quite frankly, we've become a leader in having creative educational programming to help address excessive alcohol and other drug issues, sleep disorders. And then finally, we have a program called No More Secrets. And so part of what we're doing is not only the educational programs, but also looking at making some investments in our facilities. And these investments are done using local dollars, whether it's student activity fees or revenue generated from these areas. These are not improvements that are made through any state resources. So this is a picture of our Student Recreation Center, which is a beautiful facility that was just built back in 1989. But over time, it becomes a little dark and a little faded. And so some of the recent improvements that we made here included new ceramic tile, new paint job, new furniture. Again, trying to make it a warmer, brighter, more vibrant place for our students to want to come and sometimes just sit and lounge and relax for a little bit, but also to come out and exercise, work out, and get involved. These are some lockers that were jointly purchased between the student government and also the Student Recreation Center. We're very pleased to have those, and I know the students are very excited about having those lockers. Here's some new equipment we just purchased, treadmills, state-of-the-art, and certainly in the afternoon, all of these will be jam-packed with two or three students waiting to get on each machine. Here's an example of an afternoon, high-traffic area. The equipment is really used extremely well by our students. And this is a new spinning room that we recently added to the rec center. They offer instructional courses, which have become very, very popular. Total EIU is a new concept in looking at the mind, the body, the spirit, and incorporates a number of different areas at the university. The health service, the counseling center, health education resources, as well as a number of academic departments. And what we do is throughout the semester, we provide information for students over here at the rec center at this Total EIU booth. And it's staffed on a rotation basis between counseling center staff, health education resource center staff, health ed staff, both full-time staff as well as grad students in terms of trying to educate students about exercise and nutrition and stress reduction, importantly. This is the big health fair that we have every year over at the Student Recreation Center, and it's very popular. Students can go around and pick up informational items about health and wellness. The toothpaste really is not that big, I promise, but certainly sends a message. As I mentioned, we have a No More Secrets campaign, and this is outreach with regard to suicide prevention. We have found we have a whole variety of different individuals who have shared a secret that they have, and the message really is that we really want students to reach out, to ask questions, to ask for some help, and it's been very successful in terms of visibility. And if you've been walking around campus, I'm sure you've seen some of these posters around campus. So, so far so good. It seems to really be making a difference. Another area, we just asked for your approval to reauthorize your approval with regard to the fee increases, the multi-year fee increases that were approved last year. And part of that fee increase, which was part of the Lance operations budget, also included some of these outdoor areas. And so you can see some of these outdoor areas had become pretty dated, not looking very attractive. And again, part of our goal is to upgrade areas so that they look more inviting and students really want to participate. You can see that there's a cracked foundation and backboards are rusted out, rims are bent. And here recently, this past summer, through that fee increase, we were able to make a pretty significant improvement, both in the court, in the backboard, in the rims, in the fencing, and you'll see right in front of the fencing there a couple benches. So it's become a brighter area, a more inviting area, and certainly when the weather's good, 9 times out of 10, if you drive down 4th Street, you will see students out there using that area playing basketball. And that was not the case before this area was redone. It's another picture from a different area. And then also part of the fee increase was some money that would become available for the Panther Trail. That was another area that really kind of became loaded with potholes and drainage problems. It was something that students wanted addressed, and we made a promise to them when we presented that fee increase that we were going to work hard not only to take care of mechanical things, but also to do some things outdoors like the courts and the Panther Trail. So one of the things that had to be done was some additional drainage so that we can move that water away from the trails, followed by some additional gravel to get rid of those potholes. And my favorite spot, the bench. So for people who get tired like me, there's a place you can go over and relax and catch your breath. But again, another place, attractive place to just kind of sit and either take a rest from walking or running, or perhaps just go out and enjoy the beautiful weather in Charleston. Finally, our last area that is new is how we established the Office of Veteran and Military Personnel Student Services. This was mandated by the state of Illinois. It was in President Perry's priorities last year with regard to the budget, and I'm very pleased. From time to time, when we've met as a board, you've heard some of the updates, but we're really pleased that we've been able to get this office up and running. And Mike, our new coordinator, has done a terrific job getting things going. We have one of the projects that Mike launched is called Project Hero, and this is an opportunity for civilians to write thank you notes and thank you cards for our veterans. We presently have a goal of getting at least 1,000 cards together for these cards to be sent overseas to thank our service personnel for their service to us. And presently we have just over 900. Mike is going to be out in the alumni lounge after the meeting if anyone is interested in jotting a note. We do have cards available. You can jot a note after the meeting, and he'd be happy to take those and send those off, the card as well as a small American flag that we're sending out. Mike also took some of our students to participate in the Bataan Death March Memorial, which took place in New Mexico. It is a 26.2 marathon, and I asked, well, is that a walk, a run? And I was told, you just need to finish. So however you get across the finish line is the important thing. After 26.2 miles, whether you walk, you run, you crawl, it doesn't really matter. The goal is just to finish the marathon. And certainly we have some of our students who are presently serving. So part of our efforts is to help prepare them before they're deployed, to try to keep in communication and with them while they're gone, to show appreciation, and any equally important, hoping that they're coming back to us when they get out of the service and come back into classes and finish their education. So we're really proud of what Mike has done with our veterans. He came to us from New Mexico with a great deal of energy and a great deal of ideas, and he certainly has been working really hard to pull that together and make a significant difference. The last area we have is integrative learning, and I wanted you to hear from two of our College Student Affairs graduate students today. Unfortunately, Jessica, I heard from this morning, she was supposed to be flying back in late last night, and I believe she was planning to fly into St. Louis, and unfortunately wasn't able to fly back in a timely manner. So she's unable to join us today, but we do have Justin Hsu, and I will ask him to come up and share with you some of his experience with regard to integrative learning, some of the things that he's learned. He works extremely hard in housing and dining services, so he has firsthand knowledge right there on the floor with the students, seeing what's happening all the time. So, Justin, I invite you up front here. Thank you.
Hello, thank you very much for letting me talk a little bit. I want to share some of my experiences just with integrative learning through some of the things that I'm involved with in the College Student Affairs program, like Dr. Nadler mentioned, and some of the things that many of my cohort members have been going through the past 2 years on our own personal integrating what we're doing in the classrooms and bringing that out to what we do here at Eastern Illinois University. Then I wanted to share just briefly some of the experiences that some of my students have been able to have working with them as the Associate Resident Director in Weller Hall here on campus. One of the things that really stood out for me for this program and Eastern when I was searching for a graduate program is that I knew that President Perry had a focus on integrative learning and making sure that students are able to take those experiences just to a different level to really prepare them for where they're moving on to. So one of the things that I really looked at when I looked at the coursework that we would have is what were some of those experiences that I would have in the College Student Affairs program. And one of those that is a great example of how we are able to take exactly what we're learning and apply that is our consultation course, which many of us, all of us sitting over there took, which was a course where we learned about how to become consultants at different institutions given a certain topic. Our course looked at alcohol use on campus, and we split up into teams and were able to go to other institutions as a consulting team and learn just what that looks like, literally taking exactly what we're doing, pulling it into the classroom, and being able to produce something very tangible for another institution. We also do a number of internships in the program, and one of them that I'm doing currently right now, I'm in a college teaching course, and I've been able to take exactly what I'm learning there and apply it to an internship teaching a course at the Student Success Center, EIU 2919. So I've been able to take directly what we've been talking about and applying it directly to that class, you know, using it with the students that I work with every day. Also in the program, we all complete a thesis, which has been a great opportunity for everyone to be able to learn a lot about something that they care about and really be able to bring that home and integrate that into what we do on campus every day. I focused on the LGBT community here at Eastern Illinois University and focused my thesis topic on what are those experiences from our lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students like on campus. And through that, I got very involved after that thesis work and through that thesis work with our campus-wide LGBT Resource Advisory Committee, which is made up of faculty and staff here at EIU. And I was able to take a lot of those findings and apply that directly to what we do at Eastern. Through that, we saw the need, a greater need, for the Safe Zone Project to be re-implemented, which you might have heard has been rolled out this year, and also a virtual space, some sort of resources for that population, students, faculty, and staff, through our LGBT Resource Web Center, which went live last year. So. Also, talking about integrative learning, working with the Department of Housing and Dining, I've had a lot of really great hands-on opportunity to really develop my skills there. Housing and Dining, through our Panther Success Initiative, we really look to personalize the college experience and what are we as professionals in student affairs being able to help our students meet their goals. Specifically, a part of that is through their classroom activities. What does that look like? Through the Charleston Chu program and connecting faculty with students, being able to build those connections, we know that students who have stronger connections with their faculty outside of the classroom do better at the institution, they're more engaged. The Charleston Chu program speaks directly to that, as well as the Faculty Fellows program, which is a number of different programs that each hall or each area on campus within housing brings in faculty members to do certain games, activities, developmental items with the students that are present. So. Then also I just wanted to end with sharing a little bit of some of the students who I've worked with for 2 years. I have three individuals who I think are amazing examples of President Perry's vision of integrative learning and how can we pull their experiences in the classroom into what they do every single day and really prepare them for what's coming up. One student I have is a sports studies major and has worked very hard the past few years to really develop his understanding of just the human body and physically how muscles develop. And through an integrative learning approach and through getting involved with Hall Council at Weller, he's been able to put on a number of different programs that has students come out and learn about how to build and tone certain muscles, how to exercise properly. And one of the comments that he made when reflecting on one of the programs that he did was that he feels more prepared than ever for a real job outside of Eastern because he's been able to do some of those things already that he knows he's going to be doing. That individual recently accepted a graduate assistantship and will be going to graduate school here at Eastern Illinois University. So I'm looking forward to seeing him grow and continue in his studies. I have another student whose name is Shauna, who when I first met her was very quiet and reserved, and she served on Hall Council, and her first report was very reserved and shy and really just couldn't, just very afraid to get up and speak in front of her Hall Council. She was our treasurer. And as an education major, she came to me and said, I really want to be a part of this, and I want to pull some of this what we're talking about in our classroom, as one of her professors says, find opportunities to get involved and speak in front of people, because you're going to be doing that for the rest of your life. Shauna today, or last week, was elected to be Weller Hall Council president for next year. She's an amazing example of pulling out some of those things that she would come and talk to me about. Hey, I got this feedback from my professor after I gave this speech on this assignment. How can I improve that? So I worked with her on, okay, during your reports in Hall Council, let's try to work on that. And she's going to be doing some great things. And then I think another really great example also comes from Hall Council executive, who's a finance major, who's worked really hard the past few years, really getting involved in his academic major, then finding some really good opportunities outside of that. So obviously, as the associate resident director in Weller Hall and having a treasurer on the board, as I mentioned, Shauna served on, needed someone to really fill that role. And it's a great opportunity for him to come and take exactly what he's learning in the classroom with spreadsheets and all that kind of fun jazz that I get to learn a lot about just working through him. So three really great examples examples. And I think in terms of integrative learning and what we're able to do here at EIU, Jason's comment about really being prepared for the future and his endeavors really speaks to what we have been able to accomplish as a student affairs division, as everyone here at EIU focuses on. And I know through my experiences in the college student affairs program and hopefully the experiences of my colleagues sitting in the room that we'll be able to take our experience really integrating everything that we've learned into our next endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Very nice. We would be happy to address any questions the board may have. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks, Justin, again. Appreciate it.
Okay. My report, just one item that I want to comment on. I attended the National Center for the Study of Collective Bargaining and Higher Education in New York City. April 10th through 12th, where I was a moderator of a panel on the public good of higher education. And Dr. Perry agreed at the last minute to be a replacement for a legislator that could not attend the meeting. I believe there was approximately 400 people present at this conference. It was held at the City University of New York Graduate Center. With a essentially two full days and also an evening dinner. And this was Dr. Perry's first attendance at this meeting, and I think he found it informative and also good reports back from his participation. So thank you for doing that. Eastern, again, is holding, is the host for the journal of this organization on collective bargaining in higher education with volume two available now online. Okay, move to committee reports. Yeah. Okay, on the executive committee, the major item of business today was an exercise on strategic planning. Members of the board, administration, et cetera, participated in generating as what they perceived as trends or issues that would be facing Eastern next 10 years or so. With many different suggestions that I assume we're told will be taking back to the steering committee for analysis. I thought it was a useful exercise in getting us to focus on what individuals thought were pertinent items for consideration. So a little departure from the normal executive committee meeting. Board Relations Committee, Ms. Nimmons.
Thank you. Watch. We had a good meeting this morning. We were updated on a green feature ad that the marketing and communications is putting out, as well as updating on undergraduate recruiting and also the Green EIU and a recent trip to Washington, D.C. that was extremely beneficial in terms of the Renewable Energy Center, as well as an activity, an outreach with the campaign. Speaking of the campaign, I'm pleased to announce that at the end of March, we are at $44 million, which is 88% of where we hope to be. It is going great, and we appreciate all the support and all of the efforts being done by the philanthropy department and Mr. Martin heading that up. It's tremendous work. Also, we got an update on the activities surrounding Legacy Weekend and want to thank Patty Stratton for all of the work done by the foundation, and also, Patty, to thank you for all the work you have done for EIU, and we wish you the best. We appreciate everything. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Finance Audit Committee, Dr. Webb.
We discussed most of the items that we've already taken action on here. Future items under consideration discussion have to do with perhaps outsourcing the student email program, which is kind of an interesting discussion. Work is being done on the track at O'Brien Stadium and the football field as well. But basically, we've already covered those items.
Okay. On the Academic Student Affairs Committee this morning, we also went over the proposed tuition fees for fiscal year 2012. Also, a review of potential campus video board displays that would be utilized to inform the campus community about events, et cetera, located throughout the campus. An update on the Energy Center with the information that we're going to expand this to include apparently laboratories for those faculty that are directly involved with research involving renewable energy, which I think will suit that project and add to it. I think it's a type of activity that will serve Eastern well, but also certainly the state of Illinois. I look forward to seeing how that progresses. We've got a hiring search update from Dr. Lord, and then a list of those recognitions for the graduate school, several awards that were received over a fairly short-term period, so congratulations to the graduate school. No report from board regulations. So. And this moves us to report on
Christine Anderson will get that.
Okay. you have a report?
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
The student body president, Michelle, was going to be here, but she's had a sick grandfather and had to be in Champaign for the last couple of weeks, so she couldn't miss any more class, and she has class right now. But she wanted me to share just a few things with you. First of all, we had our student government elections last week, and we have all new executives lined up for next year. They are, for the student body president, it's Ed Hotwagner. Vice president for academic affairs is Ezaret Gonzalez. Vice President for Business Affairs, Mary Lane. Vice President for Student Affairs, Casey Abel. And our new Executive Vice President and Student Trustee is actually Jared Shirley, and he's here right now. So I just like to introduce him. I know that they are very excited to work with everyone and to represent the students next year. Secondly, the Student Action Team successfully lobbied last week on behalf of performance-based funding. We saw that go through. It was really exciting to be sitting there and watching them vote on something that we really cared about. Our last meeting of the semester for student government will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the University Ballroom. If you would like to attend, we'll be doing the State of the University Address, the State of the Senate Address, Speaker Elections, and our Senate Goodbyes. Fourth thing, inauguration is going to be Sunday at 5 o'clock in the 1895 room where we'll inaugurate all of our new executives. And the last thing, Michelle would just like to say that she's excited for graduation and she will see you there.
Christine, what is Derek's last name?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What is Derek's last name?
Jared Shirley. Jared Shirley is his name. Yep.
Thank you. We have a summary of purchases, $100,000 to $249,000.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. We have three purchases from $100,000 to $249,999 to report to you. One is design services from Ratio Architects to
replace track and turf at O'Brien Stadium. Dr. Webb mentioned that this was a topic under discussion at the Audit Finance Committee meeting earlier today. We also purchased a scanning probe microscope for the academic side of the house, and we have continued the third year of a three-year agreement for Microsoft software.
Deposit investment report.
Yes, the board has the FY11 deposit investment report on pages 16 and 17 of your booklet. The investments are no major changes to report, but we're glad to see that the markets are continuing to perform nicely.
Thank you. University highlights, is there anything you want to comment on?
Yes, there are several items in your board book, which I commend to your reading, but I did want to introduce to you our new dean of the Lumpkin College of Business and Applied Sciences, Dr. Meyer Izadi. Dr. Izadi, would you please stand? Dr. Izadi had previously served as interim dean since the fall of 2010 and served 11 years prior to that as chair of the School of Technology. He has a lengthy record of research, teaching, and public service. We're very pleased to have him at the helm of the Lumpkin College. Welcome, Dr. Izadi.
Welcome. Do we have other matters to come before the board?
Yes. At your places, you will find this booklet on Showcase EIU, which is taking place from now until 6 o'clock next door in the Dowden. It's an opportunity for undergraduates to present their scholarship, their research activity. There's also some art down the north-south hallway of the Dowden. So I'm pleased that they're doing this. This is the third year of it, and certainly if you have a few moments and want to walk through, the students would be thrilled, I'm sure.
Thank you. I assume we have no public comments.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay. roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
No.
Dr. Webb?
Sir.
Yes.
Mr. Yost? Mr. Welch?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Good job.